From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. For a year, we've heard a lot about indecency on television, too much sex and violence, social values threatened and reasserted. In this segment, something that may not be news to a lot of parents of pre-adolescent children, those concerns cut right across political lines. In the hours between homework and bedtime, many parents, conservative and liberal, are trying to keep their kids from viewing the worst of what's on television.
TV Guide says, is that the sound of claws being sharpened? The Sports Illustrated swimsuit model search.
Now, if you think Dick and Jane won't risk everything for $1 million, you don't know Dick.
We answer the question, who's your daddy?
What we Americans watch at night and talk about the next day at work and at school is a lot racier, more explicit, more coarse than it used to be. In his State of the Union message last January, President Bush seemed to allude to that trend when he spoke about teen pregnancy, steroid abuse, and avoiding bad choices.
All of us, parents, and schools, and government, must work together to counter the negative influence of the culture and to send the right messages to our children.
The negative influence of the culture. 12 days later, the culture struck back.
For all the marbles, Super Bowl 38, the Carolina Panthers and the New England Patriots.
At halftime, Justin Timberlake ripped at Janet Jackson's bodice, and the Super Bowl suddenly went half topless.
By the end of the song.
According to Nielsen, the TV ratings company, 14 million kids were watching that game, and some of their parents called up CBS to complain. Protests about indecency reached new levels in 2004. Complaints to the FCC about radio and TV shows were to multiply. In 2002, almost 14,000. In 2003, over 200,000. Last year, more than 1 million. According to one trade publication, Media Week, nearly all those complaints, except for those concerning the Super Bowl halftime show, were generated by a single activist group, the Parents Television Council. It's a place where staffers called entertainment analysts monitor network TV shows.
Primarily, they're looking for instances of inappropriate sexual content, foul language, and violence on TV, but they're also looking for broader messages, things like the treatment of school authority figures, the treatment of parent-child relationships.
That's Melissa Caldwell, the Director of Research and Publications at the Parents Television Council. The PTC shuns any ideological label, but it shares a CEO and an Alexandria, Virginia office with the Media Research Center, a conservative group that crusades against what it decries as liberal journalism.
The police stand over the dead body and discuss the gunshot wounds.
Aubrey Rankin is one of the entertainment analysts. She monitors CBS programs, in this case, CSI. For her own viewing, she favors The Sopranos. But CSI strikes her as unfit viewing for kids.
I would log this, a graphic depiction of a person being shot in the back at point blank, shows the bullets entering his body, and him falling to the ground, dying, and people scattering. You know, I'd pretty much describe that scene pretty specifically as you just saw it, with, you know, the details.
A couple of cubicles away, Carolyn Eichenberg monitors ABC shows, in this case, Life as We Know It, which the network describes as being about three hormone-charged teenage boys on the brink of becoming young men. In this scene, one of them is battling his hormones as his high school English teacher, with whom he's trying to break off an affair, forces her affections on him.
And now she's going to try to avoid his breaking up with her. So he's trying to get back together with him.
But Monica, I just can't do this anymore.
Just give us another chance. Come on. It wasn't all torture.
No, it wasn't all torture. It's just...
That was his teacher?
That was his English teacher, yes. And basically on that, you know, we would log the dialogue and describe the scene as well. Fact that she had her hand on his rear end and was kissing him and whispering in his ear, that sort of thing. In that scene, it is also implied that they end up having sex in the classroom.
Do you think it has any redeeming, dramatic, or social value?
This show in particular, no.
Research Director Melissa Caldwell says the council puts its analyses of these TV shows on its website.
It's rampant sludge out there, and it's kind of a minefield that parents have to navigate.
What's powering all this?
I think there are a couple of things. One being that sex and violence on TV, I think, is in some respects a lot like drugs. You know, over time, you become sort of desensitized to a certain level of content, a certain level of, you know, explicitness. So in order to get that desired reaction from the audience, you have to sort of up the ante.
So the threshold for shock has risen so high that the producers of these programs, you think, are feeling they have to scale those heights to meet the audience out there.
I think so. I think part of it is also that there are people in the entertainment industry, in Hollywood, who have an agenda and who are trying to drive that agenda. I saw a quote from Ryan Murphy, who is the creator and producer of Nip Tuck on FX, saying that he hopes that he has made it possible for them to have a rear entry sex scene on broadcast TV within 3 years. He said he hopes that that will be his legacy. And what that tells me is that he is setting out intentionally to shatter all remaining taboos.
Melissa Caldwell says she opposes censorship, but she says the council advises parents on how to complain about broadcast content to the FCC. According to a survey last fall by the Kaiser Family Foundation, the concern about what children see on television is widespread. Most parents, 60%, told Kaiser that they are very concerned about the amount of sex on television. 53% are very concerned about the amount of violence. The television their kids are watching just isn't like the television they grew up watching. We visited two homes, two families, parents who are politically poles apart, yet who share some very similar concerns when it comes to their children and their television sets. The Robs of Washington, D.C. are liberal and urban, with two children.
I'm Jeffrey Robb, and I am 12 years old.
I'm Joanne Hurt, and I'm the mom.
I'm Ellie Robb, and I'm 10.
My name is Greg Robb, and I'm the dad.
The Kratians of Falls Church, Virginia, just across the Potomac, are conservative and suburban. They have three children.
My name is Paul Noel Kratian. I'm the father.
I'm Karen Kratian. I'm the mother.
I'm Stephen Jansen Kratian, and I'm 9 years old.
I'm Spencer Kratian. I'm 12 years old.
I'm Claire Kratian. I'm 11 years old.
In both households, there are strict rules limiting TV watching. In both households, children may not channel surf. The remote is in adult hands. And in both households, sitcoms in which casual sex is the stuff of light humor are out of bounds for the kids. No one told you that was gonna be this way. Here's our liberal Washingtonian, Greg Robb.
Even shows like Friends, which most kids our kids' age watch routinely, we just find it objectionable. I remember one episode that they found a videotape. They thought it was a videotape of somebody having sex, and they kind of ran around with it for a half hour. And then the punchline was that it wasn't of one of the characters, but it was one of the characters' moms.
Or grandmother. I mean, it was like totally
So you watch
absurd.
That show. We watch that show sometimes, and you just say, like, what would the kids take away from this?
And out in Falls Church, Virginia, conservative Karen Kratian feels the same way about Friends.
I'm familiar with the program. I've never watched an episode. I think I know enough about it to not let my 11-year-old daughter watch it.
What is it that you know that leads you to that?
A group of friends that are living together and having various affairs and so forth. I just think it's inappropriate for my kids.
In Karen Kratian's home, football is something on TV that's worth watching. But her husband, Paul Noel, points out that doesn't include the commercials.
For beer, cars, or anything that, I mean, there's a lot of vulgarity in the commercials, and kids don't need to have demand stimulated in them to buy things.
At least the commercials are muted in this household. I do realize that there are some visuals that are also pretty offensive, but we have to do something to satisfy their need to see some football on TV.
And at Greg Robb and Joanna Hurt's house, same problem.
The commercials during the sporting events are sort of outrageous, and we end up
turning the television off during them or muting it because, you know, they have commercials that are pretty either violent or sexually explicit.
For these parents, a commercial can be a bizarre and tasteless non sequitur, 1 minute pro football and the next scantily clad women wrestling over beer or modeling for Victoria's Secret.
If a relaxing moment turns
into... Or men touting the return of their sexual prowess.
Take a look at your challenge like I did. It worked for me.
Yeah, I don't know if you've tried to explain to a 12-year-old a Viagra ad. I mean, it's kind of not the most fun thing you ever did on a Sunday afternoon.
Well, I mean, what you'd want to be talking to your kids about is sexuality as they're developing. You don't want to jump into sexual dysfunction and then work your way backwards, you know? It's just...
Least of all because the Redskins place kicker just kicked a field goal and it's a timeout for a commercial in the middle of the football game.
Right.
There are also real differences between the choices these two families make about children's viewing. The Kratians made allowances for the talent show American Idol. The Robs kept that off limits. The show's snide put-downs of the losers conflict with values they encourage in their kids. The conservative Kratians are put off by the way television shows undermine all authority figures, clergymen, business executives, government. The liberal Robs make allowances for the animated comedy show The Simpsons, on which no authority figures fare very well, a program which is verboten for the Kratian children. Both couples find the basic messages of much television at odds with their values and significantly different from the shows they grew up with. Karen Kratian waxes nostalgic for television of a more wholesome time.
We recently purchased the DVD of the first season of Gilligan's Island for our kids, and they love it. And it's funny. It's a community of people trying to get along. They have a common effort they're working towards, and they come from all these various stations in life, and they're working together to solve their problem.
And from Joanna Hurt, in a completely separate interview, a similar nostalgia expressed for The Brady Bunch.
You know, it was like there was a problem and it got resolved, but everybody, you know, like if everybody pulled together and it had a different, I guess, core. There was an issue that everyone had to work together to figure it out. But now I think shows are very different.
Joanna Hurt, her husband Greg Robb, and Karen and Paul Noel Kratian as well, all oppose government censorship of television, but all find themselves standing between mainstream entertainment and their children. It's a position that crosses political boundaries. In a moment, we'll talk with someone who found herself in a similar position 20 years ago. Tipper Gore Revisited, When All Things Considered, continues.